Welcome to Brand New Doctor. My name is Rolla Kerajo, doctor turned healthcare graphic designer and brand strategist. This is the show where we share big ideas and look for inspiration in all kinds of places to help you grow a fulfilling career in healthcare. Following a path to success is one thing, but carving your own is another. So this is for you if you want to go beyond book smart. I'm joined today by Dr. Folashade Oyewole and Dr. Temi Okuoga, who are the founders of Clinical Pivot. The Clinical Pivot is a community built with the aim of empowering doctors to curate personalized and fulfilling careers beyond the confines of traditional medicine. Temi and Shade combine their medical training with their other interests, including strategy consulting, and they've both had internships at the consulting firm BCG. Temi is currently working in hematology, and Shade is exploring the world of investments and equity research. They founded the Clinical Pivot to demystify the process of building a portfolio career for doctors. And through their platform, they are connecting like-minded individuals, spotlighting opportunities, and offering support to those navigating this unique journey. So it's a real pleasure to have you both on the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Before we dive into the episode today, I just want to take a moment to tell you about the upcoming launch event of a project I'm really excited to share. It's a celebration with an exclusive workshop for a health branding and design collective called And Matter. This is something I've been working towards for a couple of years now, which brings together creativity and medical expertise in an exciting new way. The name, the work, the philosophy is all based around a vision of humanizing healthcare through design. So what does that mean? Well, so much to come in the future, but for now, what that means is crafting brands and digital experiences in the healthcare and health tech space that embody humanity, healing, and trust. I'm going to show you a lot more of my design work. And because this is a collective, I'll also be working with some people I really admire, including Dr. Giles Morrison, someone who has featured on the podcast before. So what better way to launch And Matter than to celebrate and dive into an exclusive workshop on humanizing health brands? We'll be exploring how we can connect with our audiences on a deeper level and how we can transform the experience of healthcare for everyone involved, whether that's patients, clinicians, or other professionals. It's free for you to come, and it will be hosted at Health Foundry, a health tech hub in central London. You can connect with me and with other like minds who are passionate about reshaping healthcare with empathy and creativity. So if you are building a brand in the healthcare space, I would love you to join us for our launch on Wednesday, the 24th of April at 6 p.m. at Health Foundry. Follow the link in the show notes to sign up. I just can't wait to see you there. But for now, on to the episode today. So we love to talk about exploring your own potential in different ways. And I'm really excited to hear your perspective on this, your take on it, and how we can achieve this when we're coming from a healthcare background, which is typically quite traditional. So let's just dive right into the questions then. I guess the two of you met while you were at BCG, is that right?
Yeah, we did. We met on the internship that we did, I think it's like 5 years ago now. So quite a long time. But I think in terms of us both getting to our various journeys, I'll speak about mine. I'm sure Temi can share her journey. I always say that I think second year of uni, I knew I was having different interests and I was trying to like figure out a way to pursue that. And one of the things that everyone kept reminding me of is, oh, it'll get better when you get, for example, our second years are preclinical years. So it'll get better when you get to your clinical years.
Right.
I did my first clinical year, but it's very general. They said, don't worry, when you get to specialties, you'll really enjoy it. And then my most enjoyable year was my management BSc. And I was thinking, okay, it's a bit funny that it's the year that I'm not doing clinical practice. That is the year I find the most interesting. Anyway, and I think they just kept pushing back the boundaries of like when it would get better, when I would start to like really, really be passionate about it. But I think after, I would say, doing the management BSc, that's when I started thinking about, okay, if I've got these outside interests, how do I explore it? Apply for the internship. And that's where I met Tim.
Okay. And how about you?
kind of similarly, I always describe myself as like an early pivoter, because for me, it was literally the first like non-clinical thing I did was the first year of medicine. Because when we started, I did a very preclinical clinical course. And I think the things that drew me to medicine initially were the clinical stuff. So I think from first term, I was kind of like, interested in like exploring what other things there are. And that's when in first year, I heard about BCG Insight Day program. It was like an overnight stay thing. So I did that and we went through like cases and they told us a bit about strategy consulting and things. And I remember I really enjoyed those 2 days, both because I enjoyed like the problem solving of the cases and things. And I found it a really nice like switch from medicine of like doing something different, even just for a couple of days. And so off the back of that is when I applied for the internship, which is where Shada and I met, as she mentioned. And similarly, I really enjoyed that summer, I think, as a time that I was kind of doing something different, doing like a different kind of problem solving than what we did in medicine. And I think problem solving is one of the things that like drew me to medicine. And so I really enjoyed seeing a completely different way to like approach that, if that made sense. And so, yeah, that was when I first started exploring other things. Then I went back into finishing medicine because I did the internship in my second year summer where Shadi did it in fifth year. And for me, clinical school then was better than preclinical in that like I definitely enjoyed the course more. And so stuck with that and then did foundation. And I'm now doing hematology, but still have kind of interests in like exploring other things alongside medicine, basically.
It's really cool to hear how, you know, your different interests kind of intersected at this point. And it's pretty serendipitous that you guys met at the point that you did. So you mentioned that that was 5 years ago, but you started the clinical pivot last year, right? So what was it that prompted you at that point to start the clinical pivot? What made you think now is the time that we do this?
I think we have kind of constantly had this feeling that, you know, when I got to BCG and met another medic, for example, that was quite refreshing that I wasn't the only one that had outside interests. And in me then going into the world of equity research and me thinking about, actually, I would love to learn more about investing. Again, I always kind of felt like I was navigating that journey by myself, but I wanted to feel like I had a community speaking to Temi about it. And I think that we both really resonated with this idea that we should be able to bring our full selves no matter where we are. And for the clinical pivot, that's exactly what we hope we're providing. So you can be a doctor that maybe has a tiny bit of interest in the world of medtech or anything else outside of the traditional clinical route, or you can completely want to pivot and switch into a different career trajectory. And I hope that people feel like both are welcome at our events and with the community.
Yeah, exactly. And I think to touch on your point about the time that passed between when we did our internship to all the way to now starting it, I think that the kind of stigma around doing medicine and wanting to do other things is one of the things we want to approach with Clinical Pivot, and is potentially one of the things that has meant that it's taken so long to even start something like this. Because for both of us, we spoke a lot, especially during the internship and at that time, about kind of how refreshing it was to be able to talk about, oh, I'm interested in this, I want to do that. Because especially at that point, I think it's a bit better now, but especially at that point, that's not something that you could say in the hospital. Because I feel like in the UK, especially, medicine has a very specific space. Being a public system, it's even more vocational almost than it is in other places. And so, yeah, it's much harder to talk about wanting to do anything else once you've kind of gotten onto the medicine pathway.
I love that. The idea of bringing your whole self to something and just unapologetically pursuing your different interests as well. And it's true, there is a huge stigma. I remember in hospital, just like whenever I said like, oh, maybe I want to do other things, there's just like this kind of echo chamber of like, no, just go into like GP. That's always the option. Like, oh, you don't want to do medicine? Do GP. So yeah, I can understand that kind of process of slowly building up the courage to go for what it is that you actually want to. And I'm really glad that you guys have. So tell me just a little bit more about what your vision is for Clinical Pivot. You are already running these wonderful events. You've got loads of people who are coming really interested, and you're sharing different experiences of building a portfolio kind of career. Do you have any kind of like
grand aim in terms of what you want the community to look like?
Yeah. So our kind of like starting vision has sort of three parts to it. The first part that we're focusing on mainly at the moment is building the community. So as we mentioned, the lack of spaces where medics can openly talk about exploring other things is something that we both wished wasn't the case, I guess, along our journeys, and wished that there were more spaces that we could talk to people about different things, just because in other sectors, that's how people find out about things. That's how you find out about opportunities, just kind of like general networking aspect and learning from each other. And so building the community is kind of the like first focus. And then kind of off the back of that, we are interested in also starting kind of building on that to build kind of peer-to-peer or senior kind of mentorship. That's kind of the second point that we're focusing on kind of from here.
Yeah. And I would say like just generally networking and hearing people's journeys and sharing their stories, because I think for me, the other thing that like allowed me to notice that certain things were possible was just discovering someone, like one person who has done it before me. So one of the things we do on our page on Instagram is we all share pivoter profiles, people at the early stages of their career or people at the later stages, hoping to showcase that if, you know, don't let it be fear. That's the reason why you don't do this. We're not trying to encourage anyone, but yeah, you should always know it's possible if you really do want it.
Yeah, that's a really great thing to do. I think this idea of showing people the different possibilities out there is really, really key, because we're so institutionalized into thinking that you have to kind of follow a path. And if it hasn't been done before, then it's just not a thing that you can do. So it's great that you are kind of breaking that type of way of thinking. There was someone who came on the podcast actually, and she talks about, her name is Erica Young, and she was talking about this. She was actually quoting a kind of famous researcher who talks about the adjacent possible, which is really all about everything that has ever been made is based on what we've seen kind of adjacent to that. When our vision of what is possible is expanded, then we build upon that, and then the next person builds upon that. So it's kind of a great chain reaction that you guys are creating through the work that you're doing right now. So talking about this idea of, okay, what's possible, and like figuring out what's possible, seeing what other people are doing, it does take a lot to change our mindset and change just everything that we're doing when we're going from following a path as a health professional to carving one and creating a portfolio career. So we have to think about our mindset. We have to think about who we spend time with, the community that is around us, what we actually spend our actual time and our focus on. What do you think people should start with really when they are trying to make that shift towards curating their own career?
I think for one thing, I will always say is don't let it be a push factor that you're leaving. And it should be a pull factor that you're very interested in exploring something and you're not able to find that maybe, again, full-time within medicine. So in whichever way that you want to explore it, you seek opportunities to do that. But I do want to kind of stress that it shouldn't be looked at as the grass is always greener, because I think chasing that mentality can just lead to one being unhappy wherever they go. And, you know, every job and every career is going to have its own challenges. But I think if you're pursuing interest, then you're never going to have any regrets. So yeah, that's one thing that I would consider. Make sure you're not just leaving because you feel like there's things that you're not liking about medicine. Making sure you're actually looking at what you're interested in.
For me, another thing that I would say is I think a lot of medics focus a lot on the sunk cost fallacy, essentially, of the fact that they've invested a certain amount of time, whether they're now IMT3 or they feel even just that they finished med school, this and that, that really restricts the way that they think about what is an option or what I guess even makes sense for them based on what they've done so far. So I think like in terms of the frame, like shifting your frame of mind that you mentioned, the first step is being really radically honest with yourself about what you want out of a career. Thinking of that in kind of more abstract terms. So not just in terms of medicine or any other specific job. Maybe you want a job that allows you to travel or a job that allows you to work certain hours, or kind of like thinking about what is important to you. And then from there, kind of almost like working back from that. And that doesn't necessarily always mean, as we kind of talk about a lot, leaving medicine or anything like that. It might mean that you think about it and you realize that actually you do like medicine, but you just don't like the like rota on like what you're doing. Or it might mean that you want to do, you want to do the medicine, but you want to do something else on the side, or maybe you realize that you want to do something else completely. But I think really trying to like, the main like shift in frame of mind is like letting go of that sunk cost fallacy and just thinking about what you want from the point that you're at, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think those are both really great points, especially this idea of honesty. I think it's a very, very hard thing to do for a lot of people, like you say, because of just the amount of time that they've put into it and maybe all of the people that are surrounding them as well. So again, this is a great thing that you're doing by providing people with an alternative, kind of a different group of people around them who might encourage them to actually examine these parts of their lives as well. And I think, Shade, what you were saying about how we need to really focus on our interests and not just on the things that we hate, because I agree with you that that kind of motivation will only take you so far. Actually, it might pull you out of a situation quickly, but it wouldn't really have that same kind of longevity further down the line with your career. Like, you know, hatred of the night shift isn't gonna like serve you in 50 years time necessarily.
Especially because like I know some people who really hate a particular stage, but it's not the actual job that they don't like. So, you know, those sorts of people then stay in medicine because, you know, when you get like that stage is temporary. And when you get to the other side, you're going to be grateful that you stuck it out.
But there's a difference, right? Because what you were saying earlier was you're going to, after this, it will get better. After this, it will get better, right? And there's a difference between like, this thing sucks right now versus like I've been waiting for 5 years for this to get better is a really important distinction to make as well. And I guess finally, I just wanted to say as well, just the idea that we don't all have to leave medicine. There's not a binary thing. And you guys are a great example of this as well. Like you guys are doing different things and it's not just about like everyone has to go because we don't all have to leave. So oftentimes, I know we start off when we go into something, we want to make a change. And then we find as we are working on something and we're trying to create change, it actually changes us as well. So I'm really interested to hear how your thoughts towards finding fulfillment in your career have changed through the process of creating the clinical pivot. Has it changed for you at all since when you started and where you are now?
That's a good question. To me, I think it's more firmly established that one, not everyone has to leave. And really what your career looks like should be what you think you will find most fulfilling. So take myself, for example, I haven't completely left clinical practice. And that's because there's still elements that I have an interest in and I want to be able to interact with. And I'm still navigating that as well as my other job. And I think for some people, it's a case of actually completely leaving, because they know that actually the clinical practice is the part they want to, you know, step away from. And then maybe they come back after experiencing something else fully. So yeah, I really love, literally, I see doctor and another option and I love it.
Yeah, I think mine for that one is quite similar. I think that if anything, it's expanded upon what we were hoping with the clinical pivot, if that makes sense. So the point of this is that people can have really varied careers and there's lots of different paths. But I think through Clinical Pivot and the number of people that we've met at our events and like through talking to people about the Clinical Pivot, I think it's opened my mind even more than I thought about all the like the breadth of possibilities of what people are actually doing, and hearing all the interesting things that people are up to, I think has been a really great part of it.
That's really exciting. I think that's really exciting to hear, because I remember when I was thinking of leaving medicine, I would constantly Google alternative medical careers. And there's this one NHS page that comes up that lists out, you know this page, right? They're like, oh, you can work on a ship. Or maybe you can go into occupational therapy or medicine. I'm trying to remember. They have like a list of 10 things and I would go through them and be like, nope. So it's really cool to, you know, to hear about different people doing lots of different things. It's possible you can actually do anything. Like I didn't think that I would become a graphic designer, but here I am. And so yeah, the grass is not greener. What am I looking for? The term I'm looking for. No, grass is green. Just the future is bright. Let's go with that. Anyway, so you've been hosting events where doctors who have built portfolios share, or portfolio careers, they share their experiences, and you've got loads of people coming. And I imagine that different people come with different kind of motivations, or they're at different points in their career. They're maybe hoping for different things, hoping to get different things out of it. So I'm just curious, what have you kind of gleaned in terms of like the deeper concerns of the people coming to the event? Is it like an emotional thing, or is it kind of support? And what ways have you found to kind of support these people?
So I think the first one that comes to mind is that I think a lot of medics so far, from what, like who we've spoken to, and I guess from experience in a little bit, is feel underprepared for applying for any other kind of job. Because I guess from medical school, most final year students studying anything else, they'll have put a CV together, they're applying for different kinds of jobs, they've done interviews, like they are kind of familiar with the process of like how to market themselves and advertise themselves to get various different jobs. Whereas because the path is so defined for medicine, where you just sit the SJT, you put your preferences in Oriel, you haven't done kind of that same traditional job application process. So I think it's actually a lot of imposter syndrome from medics, where they feel that they're not like qualified to do anything else because they haven't ever like used those skills, even though they do have the skills. So I think that that kind of leads into one of our other key missions, which is like essentially education, just to empower medics to be able to use the skills they already have to be able to access all these different opportunities, basically.
Yeah. And I think from my side, it's getting used to, it's okay to not know 100% the answer and literally be figuring it out as you go along. I was like, we've all spoken about that medicine is a very clear training pathway. You do foundation training and then you choose a specialty and your life is set from there. And I think it can be a little bit scary to imagine what going into a different career might look like, especially if that's maybe step one, but you don't know what it's going to look like after that. And it's just kind of maybe encouraging people to be okay with that uncertainty and maybe see it as exciting if this is something that's important to them, because like every other career journey looks like that. And actually we're very maybe fortunate and also potentially overprotected in the sense that with medicine, with traditional clinical medicine, the path is very much set. So yeah, just trying to be okay with that.
I can remember having both of these feelings, feeling unprepared and feeling like, you know, like there's no one particular word to describe that, but just having the desire to know like, where is this going exactly at all times? Yeah, it's a tricky one. And I guess for me, it was definitely the case that I just had to get comfortable. And this was just great advice that I got from my sister, my older sister, who's also a bit untraditional as a Nigerian, having studied law, but then didn't become a lawyer. Shock horror at the time, right? She would say to me, it's okay. You just decide what the next best step is. And that's always my advice now, is that you can't plan everything. It's actually impossible to do that. Even if you are like very set on becoming a consultant, can guarantee that things don't always happen exactly as you imagine they would. So yeah, I can understand both perspectives. So something else that I wonder if you guys have thought about or have had people deal with as well is just guilt. Because I know for me, I had to kind of wrestle with guilt about leaving medicine. I've also had people remind me as well that maybe I should feel guilty. They ask me, do you feel guilty? And so, you know, I've spoken about this on the podcast, how it is that we can stop judging ourselves and how we can deal with judgment from other people as well. And so I'm curious to hear what your thoughts might be on this as well, because I imagine that maybe this comes up for some of the people that are, you know, in your community too.
I have definitely seen these conversations around, you know, mandatory required years in training for doctors. And I think I've always found it easy, if I'm being honest, to ignore, because to me, signing up for a, you know, career 18, I didn't sign my life away. So I went in with the with the full intention that this is what I wanted to practice and this is what I wanted to do, but I'm allowed to change my mind. And I think no one wants someone practicing out of guilt. You know, you want people who truly want to be there. So I don't think that should be the message that anyone's perpetuating. So yeah, I think I found it when I hear those comments or see that, I more come from a place of, I want to be able to, what I want to offer the world is going to be best if I'm doing it from a place of, this is what I really want to do, over feeling guilty. So I'm staying with it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think of the last thing you said, I think that it's very much the case that you can make the biggest impact in an area that you're actually passionate about, which is why for people who, if for you that's medicine, then obviously that makes sense. But if not, you are more likely to be able to make a bigger impact somewhere else doing something that you're really passionate about, and every day you're showing up kind of fully because it's something that you really care about and want to do and enjoy doing and all of the above. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my main thought. And I think secondary to that is similarly, people sign up for medicine at such a young age. The implicit statement behind saying that people should feel guilty is the alternative that people that don't like their job should just do it forever because it's kind of like the alternative is really hard to justify as well. So I think it's just like recognizing that, even though it's a very understandable feeling, if you break it down, it's like it's harder to justify staying if it's not something that is right for you, essentially.
I completely agree with you both. I think it's good for us to talk about these things, because the more we do, the more we can kind of break that kind of narrative that you should stick around and you should stick around, like that you're wedded to a specific choice that you made at a young age. And yeah, it's a vocation, but we should still be able to change our minds, as we say as well. So yeah, thank you so much for that. So what we haven't talked about is the fact that we're all Nigerian. That is the elephant in the room, maybe not to other people. I feel like it needs to be mentioned. It needs to be brought up. Obviously, I didn't actually confirm this with you. I just read your names and I felt like I didn't need to. So I think it's important. It's an important point to raise, as you say, because it is a huge influencer when it comes to the choices that we make in our careers, particularly if you are in another country aside from Nigeria. If you go anywhere else in the world and you want to contribute to that society, to that economy, you're likely going to choose medicine or law or engineering, for example. And so I'm curious for you guys, what has it been like to come from this cultural background that has such a deep respect for tradition? What has it been like then to explore alternatives in your career and talk about that as well?
I think I definitely had to finish the degree. Like, I think I was definitely not an option about leaving any earlier. But, you know, at least for, you know, I'm sure both of our parents, like they want me to be happy. So with me finishing my degree and still practicing, I felt like, you know, that whole, you're a doctor, you know, you practice, you can say you've tried that. And then it's also for you to try and live the life that you think will most make you happy and then explore. So that's sort of how I justified it. And I think I broached the subject with them over the years.
I think for me, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've had that much, very much pushback at all. I think it's because I soft launched it from so early. So I think that it's been like, because like I said, in the first year of uni, I was already talking about, oh, I'm interested in this, mm-hmm. X, Y, Z. So I think maybe they like knew for some time. And then also secondly, I'm still practicing. I haven't really to break any news, I guess, in that regard. But even if so, I actually think that, yeah, for me, it's kind of been okay / not much of a contention point. At least till now. So far.
I mean, any Nigerians or just anyone coming from a culture where it's imperative that you study medicine, it is useful advice to kind of share that and not be afraid. Just if the thought has come to you before, you don't have to have made a final decision. I think that was the mistake that I had made, perhaps, was I'd kind of slowly said a few things, but it wasn't really until I was very much like, I'm leaving, that I told my parents actually. And so they were like really super shocked by that. But I guess it's important, actually. You can share your thoughts. You don't have to have made a final decision, but maybe just open up and talk about it a little bit in any case. So
on that point, though, you could argue that like it's good that you had come to this decision by yourself. Because again, I think coming from a cultural background where studying medicine is, you know, seen as like the right thing to do, you know, people can be easily swayed. And I do think you have some people who, you know, even well into adulthood, they are living for their parents. So it's really good that you kind of had made your mind up, and then it becomes more of an adult discussion versus maybe allowing them to sway your mind.
I mean, I wasn't, you know, I basically grew up in medical school, as you guys did as well. So by the time if I'd said something earlier on, I think it would have been a very different conversation if I'd said it when I was maybe 18 or 19, compared to kind of when I was maybe 23, 24, which is kind of when I started having these conversations. So yeah, I mean, it's also a good point. I suppose we all have to kind of find the right time, and it's a case by case, really. When is a good time to talk about these things? I'm feeling like this is a deeper conversation. Like, how do you break the news to your parents that you want to do something else? So let's talk a little bit more about Clinical Pivot again. So what's next for Clinical Pivot? What are the opportunities that people can look out for in the next coming months?
So we actually just dropped a book club that we are launching. And that was very much from one of the things that we wanted to do is just do what the community wanted and like be a helpful resource, but also learn from each other. So from our last event, we were speaking about various books that some of our panelists had learned from. And people seem very enthused and wanting to like find out more. So we're hoping that this can be a space that, yeah, we can read these books and kind of share ideas and can continue to foster the community. So that's one of the things we've got planned.
Yeah, that's kind of the most like imminent thing coming next. On top of that, it'll be more of the same in terms of more events with speakers talking about different potential pathways into different industries and kind of learning from each other in that sense. And then I touched on a little bit earlier that after that, I think the next thing we'd be hoping to start building is the kind of mentorship aspect. Like once we've kind of got a good community going, that we can start connecting people in a more like tailored way.
Final question to the both of you. Imagine that you are the dean of a university and you can influence the curriculum in any way you see fit for students who will become future healthcare and health tech professionals. What would you want them to learn about carving a path for themselves or creating a portfolio career? And how would you want them to learn it to help them to lead more fulfilling and impactful careers?
That's a sensational question. So I don't know if you guys had this, but in my medical school, we had a module that you could choose in maybe fifth or final year, which was in anything of area of interest. And they were a bit more niche. And I actually thought it'd be cool if you could do something, one a bit earlier, not just when you get to final year. And even if it's something that's on the cusp of normal clinical medicine each year, it just allowed you the opportunity to explore different things. Because I think a lot of people's issue when they finish medical school is they just don't know. And again, I'm not saying that medics are unique to that. Of course, every other career, you have to go out into the world and figure it out. If I was to make one change, it would just be straight from first year, allowing the opportunity to explore what's on the periphery via a module, via, you know, an essay that you have to turn in or a project that you have to do. I think that would build great skills.
We have something similar in, I think ours was in either our second last year or last year. Mm-hmm. And I remember I did medical law for mine and I loved it, like with a law professor from on my uni. And it was like, it was so, so interesting. And if that was something that we could do like as like one little like small side module or something every year, I think that would be a really good idea. Another thing, one thing that I don't know whether other undergraduate degrees do is like help with generic application type things. Because I know, for example, if you like at MBA courses, I guess because maybe that's specifically business focused, they are taught things in relation to applying for jobs and how to market them, like how to market yourself and things like that. Obviously in medicine, that's not the case, but I don't know whether other undergraduate degrees do. But I think given that most people leaving the university degree are then going into applying for jobs, I think if that were a part of the curriculum, that actually would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a huge thing that actually a lot of people, not just medicine, would find useful, as you're saying. It's just that I think there's just so many things about just the idea of networking, why you should network, how do you network, all of these kinds of things that we need to know about the real world of work. And we're just not really taught those things. You either have to learn the hard way or you need someone to tell you in real life, oh, this is how you go about it. So I think these are great, great ideas. And yeah, it's been wonderful speaking to you guys on the podcast. Really excited to see what you do next. And yeah, you're always welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Brand New Doctor. I hope it inspired you in your personal journey. Check out the notes for a summary of the show with all of the important links. And if you enjoyed this,